This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmaker.fm/platform. That's rainmaker.fm/platform.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the confessions of a pink-haired marketer. For those of you who don't know me yet, I'm a co-founder and the chief content officer for Rainmaker Digital. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. So before I get into it today, I wanted to let you know that this podcast is going to be changing venues shortly. I'm going to start hosting it on my longtime personal blog. And that kind of lights a fire for me that I've been needing to get that blog moved to the Rainmaker platform and to start posting on it again. I literally haven't touched it in years now. So the cool thing is that we have this auto-magical URL that's still going to forward. That's pinkhairedmarketer.fm. So that will get you to the right place when I make the switch. And of course, I'll keep you updated on how you can make sure you get all of the episodes. Now, it's my goal to make this change without missing a week. So we'll see how it works. Wish me luck. I'm crossing my fingers. So today, I feel like we've been a little bit woo-woo for a while, a little bit airy-fairy for a while. So today I'm going to get pragmatic and I'm going to talk about content strategy. And more specifically, a question I see come up quite a bit, which is, do I still need a blog? Do I need a site at all? Should it be a podcast instead? Or should it be a YouTube channel? What should I do, you know, with my site? Is it still necessary? Is it still important? And who needs a site and who doesn't? So as you know, on Copyblogger and Rainmaker FM and Rainmaker Digital, we have been all over podcasting this year. And I think it's probably a good thing that the word blogger is right there in the name of Copyblogger, because it would be easy to think that we don't support blogging anymore, or we don't think blogging is cool anymore. But we totally still love blogs. We totally still love text content. It's just that it isn't the only option. Now we have some more options open to us. So today I'm going to talk about how you might make that decision about whether you should have a blog or a podcast or maybe even both. And before I jump into that, I want to talk about the people listening to this who are not business owners. So you might be a freelancer. Now, in that case, you actually are a business owner, but for whatever reason, a lot of freelancers don't really think of themselves that way. But you might not be a freelancer. You might be an employee, which is, you know, legit and cool and wonderful. There are many great things in this world being done by employees. So if you are not working for yourself, or if you're a student and you're not in the working world yet, should you have your own blog, or should you have your own website or podcast? And my answer to this is absolutely. Every professional, creative person, which means every professional person in the 21st century, should have a website. That is their website. It is about you. It promotes you. It talks about what you do, what you value, what you like to work with, what your skill set is, all that good stuff. And I don't care if you're an engineer or you're a hairdresser or a writer or a graphic designer or you work in a call center. I don't care who you are. If you're a professional, I think it's important that you have your own blog or website that just talks about who you are. And the reason I say that is our economy is just changing like a house on fire. Things are so up in the air. Everything is in flux. Everything is changing. You don't know what your professional life is going to look like in 5 years, but in 5 years, I can promise you, you will not regret having a domain that has some age to it, that has some authority on it, on which you put important information about who you are. And it could be, you know, it could be very simple and straightforward to start, but it is a great thing to have in place. And really with the, you know, inexpensive domain registrars, we're not talking about a ton of money to just launch it and keep it going in a simple, minimal sense. So if you haven't done it yet and you can get the domain for your name, go grab it, you know, grab it right now, like pause this podcast and go get it and then come back. Some of us have names where this is fine. My name was not difficult to get. Some of us don't. So if you don't, then you have to start being creative. So you know, some people go with something like the John Smith. Now for super popular names like John Smith, that one's already taken as well. So then you got to play around. The best John Smith, the only John Smith, the most important John Smith, I don't know. Or you could come up with a short phrase that you feel embodies something enduring about what you are, who you are, what you value, that kind of thing. So for me, remarkable communication was the phrase that I found. Now, I will say Brian Clark makes fun of that for being long, which it is. But, you know, Brian makes fun of me for all kinds of things, so I've just made my peace with that. It's cool if you can come up with a name like Nidorama. You know, great name, memorable, but it doesn't pin you down. Made-up words are good when they're evocative and they're easy to remember. They're not so good when they're hard to pronounce or they have some kind of weird or off or unpleasant association. You know, poomeister.com is probably not going to be a win for you. There's also a kind of a trick, and I feel like Seth Godin recommended this, you know, really long time ago. So you use a color or a fruit and then a tangible concrete noun, and you use them together. So the label for this that I just made up 5 seconds ago is the 60s band name technique. I'll give you some examples. Blueberry coffee, sepia martini, pink fedora, tangerine jalopy. So I don't know. You know, obviously these are ultra random. Now, benefit these can have is they're easy to visualize, so that makes them more memorable than just something like, you know, high-value copywriter.net. The more senses you can pack in, the more memorable it's going to be because memory is strengthened by multiple senses. So if you happen to, you know, think of something that might have a familiar smell, like coffee or coconut, that could be an advantage. You know, obviously pick something that you like the smell of. So the other burning question is, is it okay to go with a domain name that's not the .com? And I think in 2016, it is okay to go with something that is not the .com. I think we're there. It is great if you can get it. If you can get yourname.com, just get it now, please. You can always forward it. But if there's another top-level domain that you can make something kind of interesting or memorable with, like a .ly, a .fm, whatever, I think that's fine. Make it memorable and make it really easy to say. The thing I like about the 60s band names is they can mean anything. So they have that potential, they can evolve with you. You know, I mean, maybe when you're 50, you're going to want to be known for interpretive dance. You don't know. So it's nice to have something that gives you some flexibility. Even remarkable communication. I mean, the word communication is pretty danged all-encompassing. So that can mean a lot of different things at different points in my career. And it has. So speaking of all of this with domains, you do always want to have a critical mass of interesting and useful content on your own domain. And in the show notes, you can get them pinkhairedmarketing.fm. We'll whisk you to the right place. In the show notes, I will give you a post I wrote on something called digital sharecropping. That is not my term. That is just the term that people use that I wrote about. And it means building your project or your business or whatever it is on somebody else's land. Now, it is okay to do for your satellite things. It's okay to have a great presence on LinkedIn or Facebook. That's a benefit. It's a positive. But you always want to have some kind of asset, content asset you control on your own domain. And you can do that with things like WordPress.com. If you want to really press the easy button, you pay a, you know, fairly modest extra fee. It's an annual fee, and you can put it on your own domain. So your super ninja ability might be tutorial videos. You might have an amazing YouTube channel, And that's wonderful. There are people who are doing unbelievable stuff on YouTube. But I also want to make sure that you've got some significant amount of extremely excellent content that's on your domain. Now, if you are in a position where the Rainmaker platform is something that would work well for you, it does let you add a couple of sexy kind of bells and whistles, things like a members-only area, which is just a really nifty way to deliver content to your email list. So there are some cool, fun things you can do if Rainmaker makes sense for you, but you know that there is a cost involved to that. It does include premium hosting and security and all that stuff and your design, but it's not free. So you know where you are at this point in your life, your career, whatever. All right, so with all that out of the way, let's talk about how do we make that decision. Should I have a blog or should I have a podcast? And I'm going to talk about five factors that I think, or questions that I think you can ask yourself to make that decision. So question one, are you a writer? So if you follow this podcast at all, you'll know that I'm not a big fan of this whole idea that you have some set of preordained talents and that's it forever. So I do not happen to buy the argument that you are born a writer or you aren't. I don't think that is supported by the evidence. If you want to be a writer and you're willing to do a lot of writing, then I vote that you get to be a writer. But there are people who love to write. There are people who have that. They love it. They enjoy it. It's part of how they see themselves. And then, of course, there are lots of people who super duper do not love to write. And then there are some of you who make a living, all of your living or part of your living, as a writer. You get paid to put words together as text, and then some of you don't. So that's an important element of this as well. So if being a writer is an important part of your identity, and especially your professional identity, then you have to have a text blog. It's going to be tricky for you not to have a place on the web where people can see how you put words together. If you write for a living, then start a blog and put your best writing there. You know, you don't have to put all your best writing there, but make sure that there are some samples so that anybody who might be interested in giving you money to string words together can see how you do that. Now, if you are a freelance copywriter, you may need to work this into your agreements, your contracts with your clients. So, you know, you may want to have something in your contract that lets you include writing that you do for them in your portfolio or on your website. And they might balk a little bit about duplicate content. They might be worried about that. If you just include what's called a canonical link to their content and say that's the real content, you will not have any problem with your SEO having the same content on two different sites. Normally, unless you've got some kind of super ultra secret ghostwriting kind of a gig, normally clients are fine with you using the work you do for them in your portfolio on your website. So question number two is, how much time do you have? It's related to factor number one, but for most people, podcasting is a quicker way to create content than writing text is. So if you are short on time, and of course we all are short on time, it can be a great way to go. Now, if you're me, this does not hold true because pretty much every podcast I write starts off as a piece of writing. I just said podcast that I write, right? I write out a complete piece of writing and then I use that to speak from. So I don't go word for word. I don't speak verbatim, but the piece of writing that I do takes as much time as a piece of writing. And then I've got the recording part. And of course, you also have to account for production time. So if you're doing your own audio editing, if you're putting music on it, if you're having the episodes transcribed, all the coordination, these are things you need to factor in. Even with all of that, for a lot of people, audio content is considerably faster to create than text content. So if that's true for you, then, you know, keep that in mind. Question you want to ask yourself is this what my name for this would be a personality project. So I talked about this a couple of weeks ago in my Things I Love, Things I Hate podcast about fitness marketing. There are some businesses that really have a what's used to be called a front man, one strong personality that the business is built around. That person might not even run the business. They might possibly not even be a real person. It could be like a character, but it's the face and the voice of the business. And then other kinds of businesses are built more around an idea. So if your business or if your project is something that is based on an individual human being, it can be really, really useful to have the literal voice of that person as a key element of your content. And this could be true even if you have a site promoting your freelance writing business. So, of course, you're going to have a lot of writing on that site, but having some audio content as well that helps people understand, you know, what's it like to do business with you? What kind of person are you? What are you going to be like in meetings? When are you going to be like on phone calls? That can be very helpful. I have found audio content to be the best format that I've found if what you want to do is form a relationship with your audience, because it's so intimate. I mean, you are literally speaking into their ear. Now, if you are a very capable writer, you may be able to get to that point with text on the screen, but it is, you know, ninja level difficulty, even for professional writers. So if your business is you, or that project or that client project is, you know, about an individual, think about at least adding some audio into the content mix, even if that's not the entirety of your plan. And of course, here's where we get to video content as well. And video content can live on a YouTube channel, but it can just as easily live on your site. You know, there are all kinds of good tools for hosting videos on a cloud service that you pay for, and then having a site with video posts. So I know a lot of people who are super excellent at video and who are making great use of it. It's a great medium in a lot of ways. I don't produce it at this point for a couple of reasons. One, the prep time is so much more than it is for audio, you know, especially given the fact that pretty much I'm lucky if I put pants on before 3 p.m. So, you know, there's that whole pants issue. Two, I don't personally watch a lot of online video because it takes so much time. You know, with audio, I can be cleaning my office or taking a walk. I can be on the treadmill. I can be driving in a appointment, I can be putting my pants on, and the audio just comes along with me. Whereas video, I really have to give it my eyes, my attention, and I can't be doing something else. So that is a factor for me with video. There's also factor number three for me, which is I really prefer to preserve my own delusions about what my face looks like. But, you know, that totally falls into the category of personal problems. So, you know, obviously, all that is my bias. There's no shortage of people on the web who love to watch a lot of video. The amount of video that gets watched on the web is just staggering. So if you want to produce video, you should definitely produce video because it is powerful. And at some point, you know, I know I'll get my video act together. A lot of my video producing friends have been sort of giving me a hard time about it in a nice way. So we'll see. And that kind of slides into the fourth question, which is, what's the format that you think you would actually enjoy creating over the long haul? So I write a lot of text and I create a lot of audio, and I do that because I really enjoy both of those formats. And I don't do video much. I do a little bit, but very little, because it's not fun for me. You have to remember that content marketing is a long game. It takes time to get found. It takes time to build your audience. It takes time to build that network of other content publishers. Everything takes time. So if you don't like the format, then that time is going to weigh very heavily on you, and you will probably find yourself starting to put it off, starting to procrastinate, and you get to the point where it's been a year since you've updated your blog, which is not really doing you a lot of good. You have to find some content format that you can enjoy, that you can do and enjoy it. And then the very last point, and as you guys know, if you have read much of what I've written or listened to this podcast for very long, the very last point that I'm going to mention is search, as in search engine optimization. It's always the last point because I think you should always make business and content decisions based on human factors first and then you know, think about what your search strategy is going to be. But it is a fact that for right now, search engines are going to have a much easier time finding your text content than they will your audio content. So if search is a major issue for you, you're going to want to have text on your site. So you can do that by writing articles that go along with your audio content. You can do it, of course, by providing transcripts for your audio. It's a really excellent thing to do. It does depend on your budget, and it depends on your ability to do all the coordination time. If you do transcripts, I think it's important to edit them just slightly. You don't have to make them perfect, polished pieces of prose, but you do want to take a look at them before you post them, because otherwise you end up with unintentionally hilarious mistakes. So I'll give you an example. I did some audio content way back in the day with Darren Rouse over at ProBlogger, and I hope that you all know Darren. He's wonderful. He's one of the nicest guys on the web. He is Australian, and he was talking about the readers of his website, but the transcriber kept turning the word reader into rater. Our raters like when we do this, and our raters like when we do that. I think she thought that he was talking about people leaving ratings because, of course, he has that site, Digital Photography School. So it made sense in context, but, you know, it was wrong. And if you're going to have somebody transcribe your work, they will make these kind of errors. They are small and they are totally understandable. And regrettably, they can totally change the meaning of your words. So if you do have your audio transcribed, I do recommend it. I really feel like it's a best practice, but you want to give it a read through and make sure that there's nothing hiding in there that's, you know, dramatically changing the meaning of what you're saying. So the last point I want to touch on is keep in mind that you don't actually need to choose blog or podcast, because you can absolutely host audio content, you can host video content, you can host any kind of content you want to on your blog. You just make it a blog post and then you put the file on there with the player. It's easy. Rainmaker, of course, is designed to make it even that much easier. You can set this up a couple of ways. You can have an audio channel and a text channel the way we do on CopyBlogger, or you can just have some posts be text and some audio, and that's what most people are going to go with. We had to go with a separate channel on CopyBlogger because we had an insane amount of audio, but you're probably not going to have that issue. So a mix of audio and text is particularly good for those of you who are not too sure about committing to a podcast. I want you to think about a podcast series. And a lot of people forget that that's an option. So they think, you know, okay, well, if I'm going to do a podcast, then I have to do one episode a week for at least a year, you know, probably more like two or three or five. Okay, that's daunting. If you're never going to get started, if you're going to think about that kind of commitment, especially if you're starting out. So try a series first. Try a self-contained idea with 8 episodes in it, or 10 or 12 or 6, 3, you know. Try a limited series that feels right to you. Rainmaker makes that simple, but you don't have to have Rainmaker to do it. Just create your blog pages or your blog posts and put audio content on them. And if you wanted to do something really nifty, you could even turn that audio series into a product. So while the series is being created, it's public. And then once it's done, you move everything behind a login and you either ask people to pay something for it or you put it into your members only area as a bonus for people who sign up for your email list. So that is a really cool way that you can create a small, simple product, an intro product on the fly, create it in public, get the feedback from your audience, and then turn it into whatever you want to turn it into. That mixed content model, so text and audio, is the one I think I'll probably be going with for that personal site. So I am going to host these podcasts there. And then I'll probably also have some, I'm thinking probably kind of short, punchy text posts and things like announcements for where I'm speaking, pointers to other content that I think is awesome, that kind of thing. Right now, it's still a collection of ideas and not a particularly focused one. So you get to kind of ride along with me and see what I end up doing with it. It's very much a sandbox to play around in. For any kind of long-form text content from me, Copyblogger and also the Rainmaker Digital sites are where it's going to be for me for the foreseeable future. Those are really my primary content homes. But Waking Remarkable Communication back up is going to let me goof around with some personal ideas and just give me a little playground to try some things out. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. Of course, I'm going to try and come up with a good idea for something fun to do with an email list so that we can stay in touch that way. That's what I've got for today, blog or podcast. How do I decide? I always love to hear your comments, your questions. You can hit me up on Twitter if you like, at Sonia Simone. And I was reminded from listening to Brian Clark's podcast recently that I need to ask you guys, if you feel so motivated, reviews and ratings on iTunes are really helpful for podcasts. They really help us get seen. They really help us find more listeners. So if you are on iTunes and you feel so moved, I would love a star rating or a review. It helps me out a lot. So that, and big, big hugs and thank yous to the many people who have already done it. But it super, super helps me out. So thank you. Thank you for that. That's what I got for today, and I'll see you next week. Take care.